Good morning. It's time for Daily Chap. The text is Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 36. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts, the second chapter. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend to the heavens, yet he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peter's sermon is well known to us. It's law and gospel. You crucified him, repent, and be baptized. As we'll hear tomorrow. But we tend to really avoid this body of the sermon. So let's consider today two points that aren't very popular among Lutherans. First, when Peter stands up to preach about Jesus, he points first to the mighty works and the wonders and the signs that God did through him. The miracles attested Jesus to us. Specifically to us, that is the Jews that Peter was addressing that day, but also to the whole world. He is the prophet like Moses who was promised, to whom we must listen. But as the Jews themselves were compelled to admit, all those Pharisees and scribes who opposed Jesus at every corner, no one can do the signs that he does unless he is from God, yes, indeed, unless he is claiming to be God. And it's become unpopular, at least among theologians, to talk this way. We know how quickly miracles are dismissed by those who consider themselves reasonable. And that means that we're not terribly satisfied with this proof and this attestation that God has given. Especially since God has not done us the favor of attesting through signs and wonders in our midst today, but rather through signs and wonders in our midst then. That's what miracles are. But know this, the Lord has to come at some time. And in his wisdom, it was the fullness of his time that he came, not our time. It's for this reason that Christ added his admonishment. Whoever hears you, Peter, whoever hears you, apostles, hears me. Likewise, whoever rejects you rejects me and him who sent me. Now we, dear friends, rightly love the Word of God. We love it as our sole infallible rule and norm for faith and life. That does bring with it a little skepticism about seeking out miracles in our time, especially as the real proof of God's working. But let us not for that reason despise the mighty signs and wonders that God really did to attest to his Son, Jesus Christ, in their time. Indeed, it is not overly simplistic for any Lutheran to say that Jesus manifested that he was from God and that he was God by miracles. Peter says so himself. Now, the second thing, Peter extols here the definite plan and foreknowledge of God in his recounting of Holy Week's events. He's not only saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of all these prophecies from David, of course he is, but he's also emphasizing that God was orchestrating all of these events. This is the language of sovereignty, that God is the master, he is in control. And that's not often the focus that we take as Lutherans. We want to talk about Christ and his mercy, not just God's unchangeable will going around doing as it pleases. But look at this. See how Peter does this. God's power and God's sovereignty are not circumventing Christ or making him unnecessary. They are evident precisely in Jesus Christ. So our talk of our Lord's mastery of all things also ought to be sought in Christ. The Lord's mastery is observed chiefly in the suffering and the death of Jesus, the point that John's Gospel and Passion really tries to make to us. He was delivered up not by accident, not really at all by the hands of those lawless men, Romans, nor by the schemes of law-transgressing Jews. Rather, Jesus laid down his life of his own accord, or as Peter has it here, the Father saw to it that he was delivered up. The resurrection also was just as much God's doing. It was not an accident. It was not the surprise about Holy Week's events. It was not possible for him to be held by the pangs of death. But here we also see how the Lord's sovereignty should not be misunderstood so that it harms faith or it makes God's word unnecessary or uncertain. Psalm 16 is Christ himself speaking, confidently confessing that he believes and trusts not only in the Father's power and mastery over death, but furthermore, the Father's willingness and desire to save. The Lord makes known the path of life. He does not hold out his bare sovereignty with all of its uncertain possibilities. God makes known to men, to us, his deep intentions also. He promises something to us, so that faith can believe him and trust in him and have confident hope for something. And our God keeps the promises that he makes. He is earnest to demonstrate his power, his sovereignty, his sway over all things openly by doing just what he promised that he would do. And in Jesus Christ, as David and Joel foretold, the promises of God are yes, and they are amen. God's Spirit, not wine, has a hold on Peter. God's certainty, not his caprice, stands behind his promises and his word. And God's power, likewise, stands behind Jesus and his works, his miracles even. And therefore, our King's decree, Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord's sovereignty, whether it's over this world and all of its elements, what all the Greeks and the Romans are willing to call laws of nature, or his sovereign sway over time and people and history, his answer to that prayer, "Thy will be done," regardless of whether we have prayed it yet or not. The Lord's sovereignty. He has pressed this all into salvation. He's invested it into this person and this name, the name of Jesus. Now, most are obliged to talk about God being sovereign and God working miracles at the same time, when everything is uncertain. And in fact, with an emphasis just on how uncertain, equally so, his answer and his solution or his salvation is going to be. That's when you hear people say, "God's in control." And it rings pretty hollow. Rather, it should be just as Peter says it. The purpose of the sovereign power of our masterful God is certainty. It is confidence. It is faith and Christian hope, not uncertainty. Listen to Peter again. "Know for certain that the Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. I say to you with confidence that David was not talking about you or himself, but he was talking about Jesus." But for what purpose has God taken all of history and all of the Bible to attest to this Jesus? Well, it is so that in him those promises might be just as certain for you also, since he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken either. So it is that David's tomb stands in Jerusalem and will for some time yet. But there will be a day when David will sing those words for himself. Dear friends, you ought to be among the Christians who sing it in Christ also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.